You're listening to KVSC St. Cloud. Welcome back to the second half of the Granite City Radio Theater. And now your hosts, Eric and Tina.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Bring it down now. Bring it down.
Welcome back, as Dana Johnson just told you. This is the Granite City Radio Theater Show. Live from the beautiful Pioneer Place Theater in downtown St. Cloud. Hey, before we get going back here into the show, first of all, can we have a round of applause for Dana Johnson up here?
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Our KVSC announcer. Dana, how long have you been with the station?
It's been about 4 years now.
4 years?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Loving them.
Are you from St. Cloud?
Elk River, close enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Close yeah. enough, yeah.
They got a Sonic there. It's not all bad.
Right.
Yeah, that's new. It's good.
It's new. Big deal.
Yep.
So you're no offense because I'm old, but you're like 12, so you've been
12
working.
And a half.
Did you go to college here in town?
Yep, I did my undergrad at St. Cloud State University, took a year off, and now I'm starting my graduate degree. So
your graduate degree?
Sure am.
Nice.
Who knew that? Yeah, right? Being a DJ requires 15 years of school. People don't know that.
There's a really good DJ.
There's a whole training facility at KVSC. KVSC.
Yes, KVSC. Yeah.
A lot of push-ups and stuff there. So, and you're from Elk River originally?
Yeah.
So where are you going after this? When are you done with this job?
I have a year and a half left as KVSC's graduate assistant, so I got some time to figure that out. So don't put the pressure on.
What's your graduate degree going to be in?
Mass communications. Because that's what we're doing
mass
tonight.
Mass mediations?
Mass communications.
Communications.
Yes.
That's a totally different thing. Mass mediations, like, everybody in the room, shut up and calm down.
Therapist.
Listen to me.
This is the way it's going to be, see?
I could do that.
Dana, fantastic job tonight. Thank you so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Eric.
Speaking of the band.
Hold on, one second. Never mind.
I was speaking of the band, I'm just saying.
She was speaking of the band. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking this evening a little bit and focusing in on the fact that in 9 days it's going to be the end of everything. The end of the world. That's a song George just wrote just now called The End of the World. And it's only that long because the world ended before he could finish it. The Mayans believed that the 21st would be the end of the world, so we have sent our field reporter, Lee Adams, out into the streets of St. Cloud, Minnesota. And he is out there somewhere right now with his second report of the evening to tell us how the citizens of St. Cloud are doing with the end of the world. Lee, are you out there?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here. Eric, can you hear me? Eric!
Yes. Now I can hear you.
I'm out here. Cold, it's like 28.
Yeah. Lee, where are you exactly? Where are you?
I'm out here in front of a big sign.
Yeah?
It's a big sign. It says Boot Shack.
Boot Shack. You're in front of the Boot Shack. Where is the Boot Shack sign? Where is the
right
Boot...
Right there, right behind me.
No. No. Lee, what part of town is the...
Oh, it's on Division Street.
Lee, Division.
Huh?
Division.
No, it's all on the same sign. Boots, I don't see any boots or, that's kind of shacky. It's the end of the world.
Yes, and how is there anybody out there by the...
Well, I'll tell you what, people are apparently shacking it up. They're inside. Well, there's a few people out here, but they're the brave people. There's a It's a lady walking her dog over there. Hey, what is that, a pug? It's a German Shepherd, Eric. It's only got two legs.
Oh.
Hang on. What's his name? His name's apparently Mr. Folly. Two legs. Huh? I can't hear you, Eric.
No, I'm here.
It's the end of the world.
I'm here.
I'm sorry, I drank a few I know. Of those.
I'm here. I'm just
those
really.
5 hour energy things.
Oh, yeah? How many did you have of those 5 hours?
I missed the last 9 days, so I had 42 of them. That's 9 days worth, I think. Best I can figure. I might be off an hour.
Wow, Lee, that's a lot.
What the hell's a Mayan?
Well, it's an ancient. I'm really mad that they didn't laugh at the Mr. Folly joke.
Yeah.
Because that's gold.
I'm making this stuff up as I go, Eric.
I know. The Mayans are an ancient. Okay,
Eric.
All right.
Boot check.
So, Lee, I want you to move to a different location.
Okay.
In sync.
Boot check.
No, I mean. Later, we're going
to
come.
There's not a heck of a lot to report out here. I'm just being honest. I know we're looking for.
Yeah, we need to find out how the people.
How about a hardware? I'll go to a hardware
store.
Ooh,
good idea. Go to a hardware store.
Probably run on duct tape and bottled water.
I bet you there is. Why don't you head on down to a hardware store? We'll check in with you a little later.
All right, bye, Eric.
Goodbye, Lee. Lee Adams, everybody.
You give it up for George Mayer and Collective Unconscious.
This is a beautiful poem by the great American playwright Tennessee Williams. It's called Covenant.
If you are happy, I will give you an apple. If you are anxious, I will twist your arm. And if you permit me, I'll be glad to hold you close to my heart forever and do you no harm. If I am happy, will you give me an apple? If I am anxious, you may twist my arm. And if you would like to, I'd like you to hold me close to your heart forever and do me no harm. This is a bargain, only two can make it. This is a covenant offered with desperate calm. It being uncertain that lovers can drive out demons gift of an apple or the twist of an arm. And if you would like to, I'd like you to hold me close to your heart forever. Close to your heart forever. Close to your heart. And
George Maurer and Collective Unconscious, Making Me Cry. I hate you. George, real quick, before we do this next thing, you were telling me, just real quick, what is that song from?
It's from a production called Autumn Song, which we brought out to the Tennessee Williams Theater Festival in Provincetown, Massachusetts, this past fall. It's poetry of a German poet, Rilke, and Tennessee Williams, who revered Rilke, and it's a musical conversation. It's one of his Tennessee's poems.
Beautiful, beautiful. You are... You just said a lot of words I don't understand. You're very smart. Stop lording it over me. All right, so the end of the world. That's coming up in 9 days, and we thought that it would be interesting to take a look at what a typical average Minnesota couple would be doing this week as we prepare for the end of the world.
Hey, Sven.
Yeah, Oli?
Pass the dish soap, would you, Sven?
Oh, sure thing, Oli. Hey, won't Lena be surprised at all this?
Yeah. Us doing dishes. Too bad your squealing with glee is going to be so short-lived, though, huh?
Yeah, with the end of the world coming and all, there ain't going to be too much time for squealing with glee.
Hey there, boys. I'm home from the co-op. You know they got art hanging up in there nowadays?
Oh, yeah, some good art, too. I've got this friend with...
Oh, my sweet Vikings. What are you two doing?
Well, Lena, we're doing the dishes.
I can see that. But why? Oli, did you pull the ice house out on the lake with the snowmobile? Only to dump them, both through the ice and then take that truck out to get them and then put that through, too?
Lena, you promised not to bring up our honeymoon again.
Well, if it wouldn't keep happening every year on our anniversary, I might be able to forget.
Oh, Lena, you know you're my Arctic fox. You know, we should go snow camping again real soon.
Oli, you're trying to distract me. Give it up. Why are you two doing dishes?
I don't think Oli can bring himself to tell you, Lena, so I will. It's the end of the world.
What?
Well, that's right, Lena. You always said that if we ever did the dishes, it would mean it was the end of the world was coming, you know?
Oh, for what kind of joke are you boys playing on me? You think that because you're doing dishes that the world will end?
No, we heard on the radio that the world is ending, so we figured that we better play our part too and do the dishes.
Well, how do you know it's the end of the world? What did they say on the radio? Did the sun explode there?
No, of course not.
Did the Vikings win the Super Bowl?
Lena, of course not.
Did NHL hockey actually start up this year?
Well, no.
Is Lisa and the Cult Jam finally having their reunion tour?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, you would.
Did Minnesota finally decide to sell liquor on Sundays?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, you would.
Oh, Sven's finally got a date with a woman.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, for jumping Jehoshaphat, if I could find a heavenly woman as resistant to frostbite as you, Lena, I'd be set for life.
Oh, that's sweet, Sven. Oh my gosh, Oli, did the Stearns County History Museum take up your idea for an exhibit about the effects of central Minnesota drive-in theaters on genealogy?
No, Lena, they didn't. I even asked them about it again, and they're not being very Minnesota nice about it.
Cheese and rice, Oli, let it go. Okay, moving down the list. Did KVSC St. Cloud finally develop a streaming live adult-only web radio station?
Oh, for the love of Brett Favre, no. They'll never let me realize my dreams.
Oh, wait, did someone finally eat the clogger?
The clogger? Do you mean the clogger from Nick's turd floor over in that turducken thing that's wrapped in bacon and then encased in meatloaf and then glazed with lutefisk before being served on top of a slow roasted deer all smothered in 5 different kinds of melted cheese?
No, not that clogger.
Well, do you mean the vegetarian option?
Sven, for the last time, there is no vegetarian option.
Oh, yes, there is. The veger clogger. It's tofu turkey stuffed with mock duck, stuffed with tempeh, wrapped in lefse, then encased in falafel, glazed with an organic honey bean curd, before being served on top of a mountain of Abel skivers, all smothered with five different kinds of hummus.
No. No, not that clogger either.
Well, you know what you're talking about then.
Well, I didn't say eat the clogger. I said beat the clogger. You know, Barry the Clogger Swedenborg from Avon at the Central Minnesota Outdoor Full Contact Twister Tournament. He's been champion for the last 20 years.
Holy buckets, no. No one's ever going to beat him.
Yeah, he's still the champ. In fact, he sent eight people to the hospital last week during the quarterfinals. Though I can't wait to see how he shapes up in the January semifinals against Marty, the one-man party, Sundvall. He's a pro wrestler and hockey player from the Iron Range, a true sportsman to be reckoned with. And today's his birthday. I've already got my tickets.
Well, we'll see. Now that's why I'm not too sure about you two being so sure about this end of the world thing.
What do you mean?
Yeah, we're for real.
Well, you just said it, Sven. The semifinals are in January, and you've got tickets. And you can't be looking forward to Marty, the one-man party Sundvall, defeating the infamous Barry the Clogger Swedenborg if you really think the world is going to end, you know?
Oh.
Well, then we better get back to ice fishing, shouldn't we, Oli? Or, I mean, Sven. Sorry.
Oi, you betcha, Oli. I bet the carpies are biting now.
Hey, now, wait a minute, boys. What about this full sink?
Well, Lena, a few dirty dishes ain't the end of the world, you know. Wah, 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 wah.
Well, folks, you are listening to KVSC 88.1 FM, your sound alternative. It is now time for the conclusion of the Shades Brigade.
I think George is getting worse. We were on a spaceship of an alien species, the Verlumians. A discovery of the element Z-117 by Dr. Edmund Laird proved to be the most dangerous substance in the universe. Edmund had led the Verlumians to the Z-117 in exchange for having Earth all to himself, along with his chosen reluctant wife, Major Kate Stafford. We found a way to open the door to the room next to us and found Dr. Edgar Laird, also a prisoner, who had deciphered the writing of the Verlumians. He had discovered the Verlumians' real plan.
No. They're not destroying the humans so that they can have all the Z-117. They are destroying us. Because they need our planet.
Well, what for?
Well, they need it because their planet is dead. Gone. They had the element Z-117. They harnessed its power to make a great civilization. They've built ships and cities, and they were able to travel the universe. But the Z-117 is very dangerous, and an accident wiped out their entire planet. These Volumians, well, they are the last. They were in this ship when it happened. They came here not only for the Z-117, but they need our planet.
Well, here goes the neighborhood.
They're not going to let Edmund live. They're not going to let any of us live.
Doctor, if you can read this stuff, then you can figure out how to get out of here and destroy the Z-117 doomsday device.
Yes! I've been able to access the schematics in the main engine room. I have a code. But the code isn't for shutting down the device. It's for the ship's self-destruction. We would have mere minutes to escape before it detonates the whole ship.
Just then, another wall disappeared, and there stood Dr. Edmund Laird.
Ah, I see you have found my brother. Good evening, Edgar.
Edmund, you must stop this madness.
My dear Edgar, why would I do that? I'm going to be given the greatest opportunity any species in the universe could possibly hope for. I am going to start over. I have the advantage of knowing all the mistakes of our species. I can create the perfect world. I'm going to make it right this time, brother. No more wars, no more famine. It's going to be a perfect world, brother.
Brother, hear me. I have translated their writings. I have been reading. They're not going to let you live. They are looking for a new home. Their home is lost, gone. They destroyed it with the Z-117. They need our planet.
Now, why should I possibly believe you, brother? These are merely the tricks of a desperate man facing death.
It's true, I tell you. Let me show you.
Enough! I will not listen to you and your groveling. I have waited my whole life for this. To finally be the greatest, most revered man in the history of man. There will be no history before me.
Edmund had moved closer to Edgar. His back was to me. I had grabbed a metallic object from the table that had a sharp end. I held it up and showed Edgar while Edmund continued his ravings of supremacy. I watched as the hope faded from Edgar's eyes.
I am now the giver of all life. I can dictate the path of a whole new world.
Edgar looked at me, his eyes moist and resolute. He nodded slightly. I didn't hesitate. I sprang forward and drove the alien metal into his back.
Oh, no! No!
Edmund fell to his knees, stayed there for a few seconds, and then collapsed onto his side. His eyes were wide with confusion and fear. He was gasping. Edgar ran to his side.
Edmund! Oh, Edmund! Why? Why?
Edgar, you killed me.
Ask him how to get off this ship.
Edmund, we know how to destroy the ship, but we must be able to get off. Do this, brother. Save us. Save the world. And I promise you, you will be remembered as the man who saved the world.
Oh, I am astounded by your empathy to the end, brother. Okay. There is a pod near the main engine room. You can all fit in. It would carry you to the ocean.
Jack, what about Kate?
Kate is safe. She is in the main quarters of the control room. Oh, Edgar, promise me.
I promise, Edmund.
Forgive me.
Edmund! Edmund! I forgive you. Oh, Edmund. Edmund.
Doctor, I'm sorry, but there's no time to be lost. We have to move quickly. Tell us how to get to the main control room so we can get Kate. Then we have to work our way to the main engine room, enter the code, and get in that pod.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Edgar stood up and hit a combination of buttons and levers, and the wall opened up. We ran into the corridor and made our way into another wall, which Edgar opened up.
This is the main control room. Kate is behind that wall on the other side.
We pressed our back against the wall on either side of the opening. I peered in. It was full of Relumians. I motioned to Cooper and Quinn.
Gotcha, Jack.
I sprung through the opening and grabbed the nearest Relumian around what I guess is his head. His long tentacled eyes were slimy, moving in every direction. It cried out as I was pulling him back. I had no idea where his mouth was, and I couldn't stifle him. Cooper was ready and stepped forward and punched the Verlumian in what I guess was his face. I grabbed his light stick. I had one chance to figure out how it worked. The other Verlumians were coming fast. I pointed it and I'll be damned. The first Verlumian hit the ground. Quinn grabbed his weapon.
How does this work, Jack?
Just aim it. I have no idea. Quinn aimed it and started firing. Verlumians were dropping. Cooper and Ernie had no weapons now. And we were firing at random.
This is too easy. Hey, what do you say, Quinn? Ernie, come on. Let's give him a little old-fashioned wood first.
I threw a weapon to Dr. Lair, and we kept firing as Quinn and Cooper decided to have some fun the old-fashioned way.
That's right. Take some of that.
It's like beating up my mom's dessert.
Bloody hell, they smell like Sussex.
Yeah, they taste like pudding, though. Right.
The doctor and I made it to the end of the room. The doctor hit some buttons and the wall opened up. And there was Kate.
Jack, Dr. Lair.
Come on, let's move.
They're right behind us, Jack.
Just keep moving. We came to another wall. The doctor opened it. We were in the engine room, and the doctor made his way to the control panel and was entering the code while me and the boys held off the Berlumians at the entrance. Hurry up, Doc. We can't do this forever.
Oh, man. I got another one. That's 20 for me.
Not true. I got that one.
They've got super bad aim, Jack.
Doc, let's go.
It's done. Countdown has started. Follow me.
We made our way to another wall. The doctor opened it. Inside was a long metal tube. We crawled in while the doctor started pushing buttons. The back end of the tube closed. The tube lunged forward fast and violently, and we were thrown to the floor. I stood up. I looked around and looked out the window. We were clear of the ship.
I say, we appear to be just free falling.
Edgar, tell me what this says on this panel.
This is the altimeter. This is airspeed. This, I think, is up.
Good enough. I'm going to try and level this thing out.
Through the window, we watched as the Berlumian ship went up in a ball of flame and was vaporized.
Oh, man. Berlumian barbecue, boy.
Kate, can you fly this?
I think so.
You think so? That's a bit vague, isn't it?
Shut up! Just shut up! Or I'm going to crash this thing in your house.
Well, at least I fell in love before I died.
Kate, we're leveling out. You're doing it.
Yeah, but I don't think I have enough to keep us up. We're going to hit the water. Brace yourself.
No, we're alive.
Nice work, Major.
Let's open the hatch at the end of this thing and see where we are. We all climbed out and stood on the top of the escape tube. In the sky, a black cloud hung in the air where the Verlumian ship was. The world was safe. And the world had no idea it was ever in danger. I looked around. As far as the eye could see, water.
Well, this is nice. I guess here we are again.
Quite. Back where we started.
Nice landing, Fly Girl.
Wish I would have gotten us near to land.
Well, near as I can figure, we should be going that way. Everybody start paddling.
Jack, we're going to need some kind of food.
Hey, don't you worry, Quinn. I still got my sandwich.
We paddled for about 2 hours when we looked upon a passing cruise ship. We were hauled up and rescued, and we were set up to spend the rest of our voyage home in luxury. That is, until we happen on an old nemesis in the casino lounge. But that is our next adventure.
And this brings to an end another exciting episode of The Shades Brigade. Tune in next time as the adventure continues.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. This is a big one. I'll come on out here. KVSC's Undercurrents Punk Rock Show, airing every Tuesday from 10 to 11 p.m. would like to remind KVSC listeners that the coming zombie apocalypse, which is not an excuse to stop rocking, Do-It-Yourself Incorporated can provide you with all your essential survival items, including Hellcat body armor, duct tape, safety pins, and an assortment of blunt and sharp objects. So remember, you don't have to outrun the zombies, but you do have to outrun your friends. Hey, speaking of the end of the world, Tina, there's an exciting new TV show that just came on TV.
That's
where the TV shows usually come on.
Sure, TV. Yeah.
Anyway, it's all about the end of the world.
And no.
Yeah, here's a little sneak preview for everybody.
How topical.
I tell you, Bart, this is totally gonna work.
I know, Gary. It's the end of the world, and we've opened the only do-it-yourself incorporated survivalist outlet franchise within 50 miles. We're gonna be rich. All we need are customers.
Hey, don't worry, man. Once people start realizing what's at stake, they'll be in. Look, here's someone pulling up now.
Sweet.
Hi, I saw that you had an open sign and...
Yes, ma'am. Do-It-Yourself Incorporated, or DIY for short. We're all about helping the everyman, or every woman in your case, survive whatever apocalyptic maelstrom happens upon our fair town. What's the flavor of destruction you'd most like to avoid today?
Well, I just really, really need to use your restroom. Do you have one?
Oh. Well, it's only for paying customers.
Hey! Bart, come on now. She could be a paying customer if she used the bathroom first. Right this way, man. You gotta see this hookup we got. It'll blow your mind how it's totally off the grid.
Okay, thanks. I really gotta go.
Okay, you show her and I'll be out here on the lookout for our fortune. And watch out back there. Some of the merch isn't too stable. Geez, I tell ya, helping people make their way through the end of the world isn't as exciting as I was led to believe. Wait, here comes someone else. Hello, sir. Welcome to Do-It-Yourself Incorporated, or DIY for short. We're all about helping the everyman survive whatever apocalyptic maelstrom happens upon our fair town. What's the flavor of destruction you'd most like to avoid today?
You can stuff that whole sales pitch, you little whippersnapper. I'm here with a complaint about a product.
Well, kind sir, I'm sure that there's been a mistake. Do-It-Yourself Incorporated only sells quality do-it-yourself.
Nah, listen, kid. I just got my online order in the mail for the do-it-yourself brand Killer Robot Electromagnetic Repellent. And all it is all this.
Yep, that's the Killer Robot Electromagnetic Repellent, minus the do-it-yourself.
What? A sheet of paper, a roll of duct tape, and 5 paper clips?
Yes, sir. You see, you're just missing the common household items. Did you read the sheet of paper? It's the instructions.
Well, that looks nothing like what I saw in the product when I thought I bought something. I didn't see it in any way how the instructions could help what's going on here.
Well, sir, it will look like the picture of the product once you provide 5 microwave ovens, 4 feet of PVC tubing, 3 cans of hairspray, 2 boxes of heavy-duty aluminum foil, and a stick of butter. Then, assemble them according to the directions. That's what the duct tape and paper clips are for. They're specially designed for it.
That's simply ridiculous.
It's do-it-yourself, actually.
I want my money back.
Well, sir, I'm not sure you're going to want to do that. The odds of a killer robot apocalypse are amongst the highest odds of all of the end-of-the-world scenarios.
Whatever. I want my... Oh, excuse me, ma'am.
Oh, it's okay. Wow. You know, that is the most awesome toilet I've ever experienced in my entire life. Who would have thought that 5 paper clips, 4 yards of aluminum foil, 3 pieces of fruit, 2 lava lamps, and a snowmobile suit all joined together with duct tape would create such an inviting and peaceful environment? And you say it's not even hooked up to a sewer?
Thanks, man. I built that myself. And yeah, it's totally off the grid.
Well, just wondering, where does everything go?
Ma'am, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you our Night of the Lepus Preventative Long Guardians, available in both Gnome and Pink Flamingo.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Please show me.
Lady, don't fall for this. This is such a great big scam. I feel like such an idiot, not only for believing about this end of the world stuff, for spending so darn much money on everything. Every little fad that came along.
Listen, mister, do-it-yourself isn't about preying upon your misguided fears. It's about giving you the tools to prepare yourself for the inevitable traumatic shifts coming at us in the future, whatever they might be. No one knows the future, so why not prepare for everything? Whether it's a mysterious Planet X passing through our solar system, an angry deity in the sky, or a horde of zombies on your lawn, Do-It-Yourself Incorporated has you covered with duct tape, paper clips, and instructions.
Thanks again for hooking me up with that sweet gnome. My hostas are sure to come back next year. And, oh my gosh, is that a Lake Superior Tsunami Survival Guide? I'll take one of those, too.
I can't believe you're falling for this. Am I the only sane person left in the world?
We've got a kit for that, too. The Last Sane Man Left on Earth kit.
Yeah, complete with complimentary pistachios.
Pistachios? What are you people all nuts? I am out of here.
You know, Gary, there's 2 kinds of people in the world. Those who prepare and those who repair.
You got that right, Bart. And here's your change, ma'am. Thank you very much for shopping with DIY Incorporated.
No, thank you. I'm going to go tweet all my friends about Do It Yourself Incorporated.
See, we're gonna be rich.
Once again, you're listening to Granite City Radio Theater, coming to you live from the beautiful Pioneer Place Theater in downtown St. Cloud. We are focusing a lot on the end of the world tonight, and we don't want to completely forget about the holiday season that is on us.
That's right. It's not far away.
Everybody, please welcome Mr. J. Terry.
Who's Hi, everybody.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, Eric.
I don't know. So, you a big fan of the holidays, Jay?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite time of year.
Oh, is it your favorite time of the year?
Yes,
Fantastic.
It is.
Fantastic. Hey, why don't you tell us one of your favorite Christmas stories of all time?
Well, I'd love to.
Fantastic.
Hey, Bing Crosby, what are you doing?
I'm just wrapping some Christmas gifts for my family back home.
Are you mailing them?
Of course.
Isn't it a little late for that?
Hey, if Santa Claus can bring a gift to every child in the world in one night, I can get these packages to Pine Tree, Vermont before the morning of the 25th.
Well, okay, I guess that makes sense, except for the part where your logic is completely flawed.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, well, where to start? For one thing, I don't believe in Santa Claus, and if I did, he wouldn't be able to bring a gift to every child on Earth in one 24-hour period. It'd be impossible.
Well, can you prove it? I mean, if you subscribe to string theory, as I know you do, you believe in an infinite number of realities, so everything is possible. Logically, there would be at least one universe in which Santa Claus would exist, and who's to say it isn't ours?
Are you kidding me?
No, and I don't think you can prove otherwise.
Actually, I can. Let's assume that Santa visits only children who celebrate Christmas. That's about 378 million people, and recent census data tells us that the average household includes 3.5 children.
0.5? How does that work?
Bing Crosby, would you let me finish? Santa has to visit 108 million individual homes in 24 hours, or 1,250 houses per second, which means he would have less than a millisecond to land on the roof, slide down the chimney, fill the stockings, leave the gifts, eat the cookies, drink the milk, and get the heck out of there without being seen. He would have to travel 75 million total miles, which means his sleigh would be moving at 650 miles per second, which, as you know, is 3,000 times the speed of sound.
Obviously, duh. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
I remind you that the average reindeer can only run 16 miles per hour. Plus, if every child received a gift that weighs approximately 2 pounds, the sleigh would weigh over 300,000 tons, not including Santa. Since a typical reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds, that would mean there need to be at least 200,000 reindeer to even get the sleigh moving, let alone off the ground. If he did get flying, within 0.4 of a second, every single reindeer and Santa will have burst into flames due to the tremendous heat from air friction. So there, Bing Crosby, the laws of physics shall not be denied.
Well, not at all, but still, he could exist.
You're not honestly suggesting that you believe in Santa Claus.
Why, yes, Jay, I do.
Okay, well, where do you get your argument?
Star Trek.
Star Trek? That's your proof?
Well, in episode 17 of season 1, aptly named the Squire of Garthos, the crew of the Enterprise encounters an all-powerful being capable of converting matter and energy and vice versa. Now, if Santa Claus was such a being, as he very well may be, who's to say that he can't instantaneously materialize gifts under the Christmas tree at the same time?
That's impossible, and you know it.
String theory, everything is possible.
I just want to make sure that you realize you are using a TV show from the 1960s to justify the existence of a fairy tale.
Well, you got it, baby.
Well, you're a full-grown man who believes in Santa Claus.
Look, even if Santa Claus is just a regular man, the speed of the Enterprise alone would make delivering the gifts possible. Captain Kirk could be Santa Claus, for heaven's sakes.
But Captain Kirk doesn't exist!
Then why do we spend so much time talking about him like he does?
Well, yeah, but we both know he's fictional.
I've seen your Captain Pajamas.
Hey!
And you celebrate his birthday every year.
All right, look, Bing Crosby. Maybe I just want to believe in Captain Kirk because it makes me happy, okay?
Well, ho, ho, ho. It looks like your Captain Kirk is my Kris Kringle.
Oh, Bing. You're right again. Merry Christmas to all.
And to all a good night.
Yes, sir, Mr. J. Terry. Playing himself and Mr. Bing Crosby. And how he did it is only for the people here to know. Hey, let's check in again. We were going to check in one more time here with our on-the-field reporter, Lee Adams, who's out there in St. Cloud, and he is looking for what the civilians of St. Cloud are doing to prepare for the upcoming Mayan apocalypse. Lee, are you out there?
No, I had scrambled eggs, Eric.
No, Lee... Lee, can you hear me? I didn't say anything about breakfast.
No, I already had breakfast.
No, I know.
Eric, already... can you hear me?
Yep. Oh yeah, can hear you.
Eric,
yep.
things are really, really getting bad out here. I got to be up to probably my ankles in snow, and it's dropped about 5 degrees in temperature out here. It's like 23, and if there was wind, it'd be chilly.
Lee, where are you right now? Where are you, Lee, in St. Cloud?
I'm standing in front of, well, there's a bunch of, 5 stores. So I'm standing in front of 5 stores on Division.
Division. It's Division.
No, I'm pretty sure that's addition. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or, you know, like, it could be multiple. If 1 times 5, it'd be 5. It's not Division, stupid.
Lee, what kind of stores are you standing in front of?
Well, it's a hardware store here.
Oh, a hardware store.
Yeah, they were closed. I figured I'd come see how they're doing on duct tape. It's really, really bad, but they were closed. So I asked the guy who said he knew somebody that worked in there a couple years ago. And he said, you know, as far as he could tell, they might have a problem with the duct tape stock.
Oh, so they're prepared for the end of the world at the hardware store on Division.
They're not prepared. They'd have more. I found this thing on the ground. It's a tool that I think you could use for the end of the world. It's kind of it's got a copper thing on it. It's like a scraper.
Oh.
But it's wider than a regular scraper. So if you needed to scrape your house and you only had 9 days, you could use this thing probably. Or, you know, not. Yeah. Hey, lady!
Lee.
You don't put a cat on a leash, okay? I don't care if the... It's a German Shepherd.
Lee.
Does it have all its legs? There's some birds flying around here, Eric. I thought they were locusts, but nope.
Lee?
Just birds.
Lee, can you hear me?
Regular brown
Lee,
birds.
Lee, you're not going to do any more prop jokes on radio, are you?
It might be the 5-hour energy, but they're everywhere.
Okay. Well, Lee...
I'm going to go check a bar next, I think, Eric.
Okay, that's a really good idea, Mr.
Not
Lee.
Not for nothing. I don't think people know the world's ending, Eric.
No,
it's
well,
not really...
you keep looking, Lee, because there's got to be people out there that are preparing and believe that the end of the world is coming. We'll check in with you a little bit later on,
okay?
Yeah,
no, I had the ham.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lee Adams, our on-field reporter.
And now,
please welcome back George Mauer and Collective Unconscious. All right, boys, I'll take this one here. Take it down just a tad. Before we end the show today, we're just gonna check in one last time with Mr. Lee Adams, who is doing jokes for the in-house audience.
Eric!
Yeah, Lee, we haven't, okay, Lee is there. Lee, how is the end of the world going in St. Cloud? Have you found anybody yet preparing for the end of the world?
Eric!
Yes, sir. We're here. Lee, go ahead.
I'm wasted.
What? What's that, sir? What, Lee?
I'm wasted. I want you to play some that connected unconference. Connection unconference.
Lee.
Not air soul.
Lee, have you been?
God.
Have you been drinking?
No.
Lee, are you drinking?
Told you I'm wasted. So, I'm at D.B. Surly's. It's good. They have a burger that has avocado and a fried egg on it.
Lee, I didn't
it
know.
Unbelievable.
I didn't know.
It's like breakfast and no food at the same time.
Yeah. Lee, I didn't know that when you got drunk, you sounded like a 22-year-old
Nobody
girl.
Nobody knows the world's ending, Eric. This is a stupid bit. You hung me out to dry.
It should be writing something, I'll tell you
that.
You
said, go see what people say about world ending, and I'll just be back here in the worm with collective compromise. And you go ask people about the Mayan ruins
Man.
And stuff that are in Cozumel, because I've been there.
Lee, so you have found no evidence of preparation for the end of the world at all in St. Cloud?
No, you have found no evidence on end of the world. I have found the dog with two legs and the German Shepherd cat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lee Adams. Let's hear it for the cast of Shades Brigade. Mr. Dave Gangler, Terry Webster, of course, Tina Van Herk. There's Dana Johnson up there, our announcer. Let's hear for George Maurer and Collective Uncompromise. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tina Van Herk.
Hey, make sure you join us in March for the next big KVSC show.
We're doing another one of these in March. Come back to the Pioneer Place Theater for another Granite City Radio Hour. Get your tickets now. Have a great holiday season and have a very good night. I'm Eric Webster. That's Tina Van Herk. That's Dana Johnson.
KVSC's Granite City Radio Theater was presented with funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and was produced in partnership with the Pioneer Place on Fifth Theater. Your hosts have been Eric Webster and Tina Van Herk. Their following actors were Lee Adams, David Gangler, Jay Terry, Susan Cross, Liana Livingston, Grant Pakey, Zachary Kulzer, Mike Vadney, and Anthony Lockhart. Our producers and snowball rollers have been Adam Terry and Jeff Carmack. Musical director and collective unconscious hall director is Muggsy Lauer. Foley sound effect artist and jingle bell tuner is Terry Webster. Writers have included Eric Webster, Jeff Carmack, Adam Terry, Jay Terry, Dan Barth, Derek Ellert, Dr. James W. Beard, Caroline North, Aaron Kiefer, Cody Lagolin, Chris Dickstress, and the mysterious Mr. Friday Night. Trivia master and mistletoe inspector is Dan Barth. Stage manager and Lords of Leaping Lassoer is Emily Ankeny. Sound engineer and reindeer tamer is Jeremy White. Lighting and technical engineer and winner of the 2012 Outdoor Light Display over 10,000 volts category is Brent Anderson. KVSC Live Technology Support and Santa Live Rooftop Lookout is Alex Hartman. Alex Hartman's engineering helper elves have been Jim Gray and Patrick St. John. KVSC's studio technicians back in the little basement that bumps have been Dr. James W. Beard and Ben Perkle. And this is Dana Johnson letting you know that we look forward to seeing you March 20th for our next show. Good night, everybody, from the KVSC and the Pioneer Place Theater.